Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. As the new county warden, Bob Crate is taking on the job in some pretty tough times. The pandemic is in the depth of a serious second wave. The promise of mass vaccinations sit on the horizon, but there are no firm dates when inoculations will start locally. The county faced many challenges in 2020, yet it still managed to start several major projects, including the new Golden Plow Lodge and a major expansion of affordable housing in Coburg. It maintained services, yet scrambled to deal with the economic uncertainty caused by the pandemic during the early days and months of last spring. In my interview with the warden, we will talk about the successes and hurdles the county has faced, along with the new budget for 2021, plus what is ahead. In the midst of all the crazy news each day, a totally unexpected press release came from Northumberland Hills Hospital last week. CEO Linda Davis announced she was retiring in August. In an interview with Consider This, Davis will talk about this sudden decision. She will also reflect on the more than 7 years she has spent here. She will share some of the aspects of her job not everyone would expect. But first, my interview with the recently elected Northumberland County Warden, Bob Crate. I'm so pleased to have with me today on Consider This, Northumberland County Warden, Bob Crate. Welcome.
Good to be here.
I'd like to start by asking you, how would you measure the impact of the pandemic on the county?
Well, Rob, I'll tell you, it's when we started 2020, I don't think any of us could have seen what was coming. And I think it's had a big effect on the county in a lot of ways, but we had to act along with the member municipalities. We had to act swiftly in the early days, and we were learning. We were learning about the virus, and I think, we weren't really up to speed in how bad it was going to be or how long it was going to be. And but we had to be ready. We had to be able to provide the essential services to our residents, and while protecting our staff. So I think the county has done a good job throughout the pandemic. We've delivered vital services to the community, and we've made some progress in key projects, and I think we've done a good job.
Now, you issued a statement recently regarding the newest lockdown, and in it you said it will be personal action that will make the difference. How much of a difference do you think that made in the face of the rising and record numbers we face in the county since the second lockdown began?
I think it had a great deal to do with it. I think we became somewhat complacent. Well, we were fortunate in the first round of the virus that we have economies of scale in the sense of we have a lot of open space and we don't, I've often said that, in one city block in Toronto, we could put the whole population of Northumberland County. So we've had that space, which has been very good for us. And even now, if you look at the numbers, our total numbers from March until now are less than a single day in some of the bigger cities. So we were lucky, but it's shown up that we became somewhat complacent. And that's why I said, we have to sort of redouble our efforts and say that, for the next month that we're going to obey the rules and we're going to do our best to stay to stay that 2 meters apart and do the things that it takes to get us through this pandemic.
But how effective do you think leaders and politicians in our community are at getting buy-in from the public now? Are people still listening, or do you think they still care?
Oh, I think they do, and I think our politicians and our councilors at county council are a committed group, and I think that they carry the message that it's important to stay the course and get through this. As I said before, we've been fortunate as far as numbers go, but they've crept up, and that's worrisome. And I think we have to redouble and. I think our people my council in Trent Hills is very committed to this. So I think that carries on through the county.
There's been two separate confirmed cases of COVID-19 at the Golden Plow over the past few weeks. Is the county doing enough to protect workers and residents? And can you explain what's being done?
Well, I think there is a very strict protocol and people are being tested. My understanding is that it came in from the outside, we've had protocols in place to watch for that. But it does happen. But as soon as we have found out about a case, we have been very rigid in looking after the residents of the Plow and making sure that staff is safe. We have a quarantine system in place. And I think we have been very, very diligent and very lucky. I think we have that economy of distance here that helps us out.
I know today the Ontario government announced that it has successfully vaccinated all long-term care residents in the hotspots in places like Toronto, et cetera. How do you feel about the fact that we still don't have vaccinations for our long-term care residents here in Northumberland, especially the Golden Plow Lodge?
Well, I would love to have everyone vaccinated, and hopefully the latest we've heard that all people in long-term care will be done by I think the middle of February. I understand why they've looked at the hotspots. When you look at Toronto and you're getting 800 to 1,000 new cases a day, boy, they're the most vulnerable. Our people that are in their long-term care are the most vulnerable. We have been very diligent and fortunate that we haven't had any serious long-term outbreaks here. With the Halliburton Court, the Pine Ridge, I see that, we've had one bad case in Bridge North, and the rest have been small outbreaks. So, as much as I'd be first in line to get a shot. I'd love to get a shot. I'm hoping that our long-term care people will be done by the middle of February, and I hope that I'm not very far down the line. I'd love to get the shot so that we could start coming out of this and feeling a little more secure.
I'd like to move on now. One of the big moments in this past year was the groundbreaking for the new Golden Plow Lodge building. And for those who have not been following the progress of this project, can you tell us what happened and why this is so significant?
Well, the original, the original Golden Plow was built in the early 50s. And so it's been, it's a building that has reached its, I guess it's age. So we've we've been looking at this for some time, and we've got permission from the province to do this. We're going to go from 151 to 180 beds. So we're going to have a state-of-the-art building along with the Northumberland Archives and Museum, which will be part of the building when it's done. I think it's going to be a very, very nice place for our residents. And right now, we're trying to keep the building as, you know, as best we can. I mean, we've been doing some repairs that are absolutely necessary, and others, you know, we've been trying to look at how long it's going to be. But now that we've got the funding, we've had the ground turning, I think, you know, looking forward, I think it's going to be a great building, which will, again, will be the shining star in the county as far as care goes.
The county just passed a $188 million budget for 2021. Now, the county portion of the taxes will increase by 1.58%. And just so that people are clear, that breaks down to approximately 1% for the county operations and about just over 0.5% for infrastructure like roads and things like that. So for the average homeowner in the county, it's going to be what, an extra $18 to their tax bill? Now, is this a reasonable increase?
Well, I think it's reasonable. We looked at originally, but when the budget was first brought forward, we looked at about a 2.9% increase, and we looked at areas to save. But you also have to, we also have some costs that we don't really have a lot of say in, and some are brought forward from previous years. So we looked at everything that we could do to save money as far as the levy goes, and I think that this is a very responsible budget. I believe that we work very hard with all the departments in the county to bring in a budget that, and I have a pet thing with this $18. That's on a house that costs $260,000. So, you have to sort of extrapolate that out and say, if my house is valued at $500,000 with impact, then that means my taxes are going up $36. So, to me, we were very responsible, and I think it was a budget that we worked hard on to bring in and be reasonable for the taxpayers in Northumberland.
But is it too little? I mean, the county's facing so many issues. There's this thing where governments keep kicking things down the road. I mean, look at Cobourg, for example. I mean, that harbor, they're going to have to spend $12 million to repair it. And this has been a problem for over decades. And they kept kicking it down the road, kicking it down. Now they're all upset. They're going to have to spend $12 million on it. And I just wonder, when we're facing so many issues in our community, the Campbellford Bridge, the new Golden Pal for years went without, you said it was built in the 50s. There's been decades people have been calling for a new building, and we're only getting it done now. Are we not just continuously kicking down the road these problems and not addressing the real issues and grappling with things like affordable housing and where you got to wait 10 years to get a place and the social services and homelessness and it's, good roads and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know my point.
But Rob, I mean, I agree that all those things you said are true, but we also go back to the point that there's only one taxpayer and my concern is, do we want to put our residents in a position where they can't afford to stay where they live? I mean, when you look at the whole situation, we have to make it reasonable to live here. I mean, I'm astounded by, I get phone calls from people saying my taxes are too high. And they say, I just moved out of Toronto where I paid, $3,000 on my $500,000 house or whatever it was, and I moved out here and I've got a property that's valued at $300,000 and I'm paying $5,000 in taxes or whatever it is. But I'm amazed that part of the problem in Toronto is the Mel Lastman legacy of I'm so proud that I didn't raise taxes for 10 years and we're all paying for that now. But we have to try to balance it out that we look at things like the Calumford Bridge and it's a necessity. And we will have to get funding from the province and the federal government before we can do that. But you know, we have to have a plan, and we have to have a good reason to get them to back us up. But you know, we have to look at both ends. You know, I mean, when people live here and they say, I'm going to have to sell my house because I can't afford the taxes, I get worried. And I mean, it's all economies of scale. You know, we talked about the 75,000 people in Toronto that fill a block, and it's the 75,000 people that are in Northumberland County. But, you know, we need agriculture. The province doesn't just need a big city. They need agriculture. So we need support to enable us to stay in that area where we do have, you know, agriculture and, you know, we do have the places where people can go for recreation. I mean, we saw it last summer in the pandemic when people were cooped up in Toronto. Where did they go? I mean, they came out here in droves, and it caused us a lot of problems. But we have to look at the point of saying, we can't make ourselves unaffordable. So it comes down to us looking when these things come up is going and finding the money it takes to do these things so that we can have, I mean, homelessness and affordable housing are two big items for me. And I keep looking at areas, you know, we are on the go all the time looking for, I mean, you look at the Elgin Park where we're going to take that from, 20 units to 50 units. I mean, the numbers aren't exactly right, but we're going to more than double the people that will have a place to live by redoing Elgin Park. You know, we're working on an Aboriginal situation on Ontario Street where we're going to have some affordable housing there. So, And in other parts of the county, you know, we're looking at situations all the time where we can upgrade and where we can add more. So those are big topics that take and consume a lot of our time trying to do the best we can. And it's tough. I mean, I'm reading where you're right. You know, people that are on a waiting list could wait 10 years to get in, and that's tough. But you also have to balance that with the fact that we have to be able to afford to live where we are.
I'd like to just talk a little bit more about affordable housing, because I know the Elgin Park, it was a huge announcement for you guys in this past year. What was it, $5.7 million to build 28 new community housing units. Will Elgin Park be able to go forward on schedule in the upcoming year in the face of the pandemic?
Yeah, we're lucky in the sense that those, you know, those kinds of operations meet the criteria to keep going. We don't have to shut them down because of what they are. So yeah, we should be able to stay on track with what's going on.
Staying on this theme though, when we look at homelessness, for example, you see a lot of work being done by groups like the Greenwood Coalition to address this issue in our community. And they're opening warming centers and working on the ground to address issues like the opioid crisis. And again, some would argue this is a county issue. Where is the county on addressing the needs of the homeless other than transferring provincial dollars to Transition House?
Well, I mean, we do a lot with it. And part of I guess what we see is where homelessness is. I mean, we don't see homelessness to the same degree in other parts of the county as we do along the lakeshore, and that's because that's where the main people are. So Cobourg has a bigger homelessness problem than, for instance, Trent Hills does. So, but the county, does, you know, we have people working on this, looking for ways to help people and to, and we're, I mean, we're now just in the midst of, you know, we have a pilot program going on that will transition people from homelessness to having a place of their own. So we are working all the time on these things, but it grows. And this opioid crisis, it's just bewildering sometimes how bad it is. I mean, and it affects, boy, it affects every part of the community. I mean, I've seen it in my own community, and you know, I realize that, you know, it is more prevalent in the cities, but boy, it is a sad situation, and whatever we can do to help that out is something we have to do.
I know for many people, they often wonder why we have a two-tier governance at the municipal level. And there's been talks back and forth many, many times about, you know, should we just collapse everything and have one larger regional government? I know that when this current government came into power, they were talking about looking at regions and restructuring and efficiencies and all those good things. Is there any chance of seeing discussions at the county level about efficiencies and maybe even looking at collapsing some of the two-tier system?
We look constantly at ways that we can be more efficient. We're doing it amongst ourselves now. You know, we have with our IT department, with our human resources department, we are reaching out and doing work with some of the member municipalities, and therefore saving money for them. So I believe that you know, when you look at it, I don't know what you would do. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, people want to have representation, and I think it can become, when you go to the regional government, I just think that sometimes people lose that, you know, small town or whatever the feeling is, that we have representation. And I think that, you know, for the money we spend as far as the seven member municipalities and the county, I think we get good government. And we are, as I said earlier, we are always looking for ways to work together. I mean, right now, the county does a lot of the road surfacing that the other member municipalities do, and that saves the member municipalities money, and it also, you know, allows the county to have that department, you know, so they can have that department and equipment to do their own stuff. But by working with the member municipalities, you know, they can keep their costs down and also keep the cost down for the member municipalities.
What are your goals, or the goals of County Council more clearly, for this upcoming year?
Well, I think, you know, we have a number in that for the county, and that's, you know, Golden Plow Lodge, the continuation of the, you know, work on the Camelford Bridge, which hopefully will also, you know, come to fruition in the next couple of years. You know, we've just instituted the new, the recycling part, and that seems to be going pretty well. I think, you know, one of the things that I'm really excited about is this the tourism development strategy, where we're looking at ways to you know, bring people to the county, and to enhance you know, I guess the enjoyment of people that come here. But as far as you know, our local stuff, you know, we've discussed GPL and NCAM, Elgin Park, Ontario Street, all those things are important. And I think they're priorities for this year.
Bob Crate, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Rob, I appreciate it.
That was my interview with Northumberland County Warden Bob Crate. The day after the interview was recorded, the county announced the creation of a daytime warming room at the Coburg Lions Community Center on Elgin Street in Coburg. This was a joint initiative of the county, Greenwood Coalition, and St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Coburg. The county is also participating in the overnight warming room being offered at the Columbus Center on Spencer Street. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.